You ever gear up, headset on, ready for some awesome VR adventure, and then bam, minutes in, you're feeling kind of queasy.
Yeah, it's crazy how important the whole movement thing is in VR.
It's like make or break for the whole experience.
Totally. It boils down to your brain trying to figure out what's real. You know, like you see yourself moving in that virtual world, but your body's saying, nope, we're standing still.
Your brain's like, wait, what?
Exactly. That disconnect, that's what messes with you, causes the motion sickness.
Not fun.
Definitely not the virtual vacation you signed up for.
So for this deep dive, we're going behind the scenes of like how VR gets made.
The nitty-gritty.
Exactly. And we've got this paper, Maze Run VR, an open benchmark. It's like a sneak peek at how developers are tackling this whole virtual motion puzzle.
And it's fascinating stuff because they
Crazy.
didn't just stick to some lab setting. They built an actual VR game, Maze Run VR, and let people,
Like regular people.
release it to the public. All to study how different ways of moving work in the real world, not just in a controlled experiment.
So
And
cool.
get this, they had players from all over New Zealand, Germany, Japan, the works.
Wow, a truly global experiment. Imagine strapping on a headset, knowing you're part of that. What did they find out? Were there clear winners and losers?
Oh, definitely. So they looked at three main ways players could move around in the game. First up, arm swinging. Just like it sounds, you kind of run in place, swinging your arms.
Sounds kind of fun, actually.
Right. Then there was walk in place. Pretty self-explanatory.
And lastly, the trusty old trackpad, like a lot of VR games use.
Exactly. So with the arm swinging, it's interesting because it's mimicking that natural motion.
So your brain's like, yeah, this feels familiar, even though you're not really like pounding the pavement.
Exactly. And that feeling of really being in the game, that's what we're all after with VR, right? That sense of presence.
For sure. But then there's the walk-in place. I've tried it, and not my favorite. It feels a bit like trying to walk through mud or something.
I know what you mean. It's all about the headset trying to track your head bobbing to figure out when you're walking. And
Yeah.
that's where things can go a little haywire.
Like your brain and the game aren't quite on the same page.
Yeah. Even little movements that have nothing to do with walking, like if you adjust your headset or you just nod your head while you're thinking, the game might pick that up as you're trying to move.
Oh no. So it's like those false positives. You didn't mean to do anything, but the game thinks you did.
Exactly. And imagine having to physically turn your whole body every time you want to look around. That's another thing with walk in place turning just feels off and not in a good way. Not exactly what you'd call intuitive.
So it sounds like walk in place might be a one-way ticket to motion sickness city. I can practically feel it coming on just thinking about it.
Yeah, the study did find it was the most likely to cause nausea. Which makes sense, right? There's that constant mismatch between what you're doing physically and what you're seeing, and your brain's just like, what is going on?
Poor brain just wants to have fun in VR.
I know. Plus all that head bobbing. You can tire out your eye muscles.
So we've got arm swinging, which sounds promising, and walk in place, which we might want to avoid for now, which leaves the trackpad. It's a classic for a reason, right?
For sure. A lot of people swear by it, especially in games where you need to be super precise with your movements.
Yeah, like aiming a weapon or something. So three ways to move, each with pros and cons. Tough choices for VR developers. But in this battle of the locomotion styles, who came out on top? Was it intuitive arm swinging, potentially icky walk in place, or trusty trackpad?
Well, the results might surprise you. When it came to speed and enjoyment, both pretty important, right?
Crucial, especially enjoyment. What's the point of VR if it's not fun?
Exactly. So for both those things, arm swinging took the gold.
Wow, really? I have to admit, I was rooting for trackpad just for the control factor. What made arm swinging so popular?
It all circles back to how our brains are wired. We're meant to move a certain way, and when the game matches that, even if it's just our arm swinging, not our whole bodies, it just feels right. More believable, and because of that, more fun.
Like, our brains are easy to please, in a way.
In a way. Give them a little bit of what they expect, and suddenly you're not just watching the VR world, you're in it.
So, arm swinging, it's a winner in Maze Room VR, but what does that really tell us? Like, how do developers use that info to make VR better overall?
That's the golden question, right? And it's all about understanding what the players actually experience. Remember, the researchers didn't just focus on how fast people finished the maze or how efficient they were.
They actually asked if people were having fun.
Yeah. Enjoyment was a key factor. Because really? Nobody wants to use a movement system that makes them feel sick, even if it's technically the most advanced, right?
No way. Who cares if you can teleport around super precisely if you're going to lose your lunch?
Exactly. And this whole arm swinging thing shows that sometimes the simple answer, the one that just feels right to our brains, is also the most enjoyable.
So it's more than just enjoyment, though, right? It's about designing VR experiences that feel like, I don't know, natural. Like you're really there, not just controlling a digital puppet.
You got it. Nobody wants to be stuck fiddling with buttons or fighting the controlled when they should be off exploring some awesome virtual world.
Totally. Imagine trying to fight a dragon and you're like, hold on, dragon, let me just calibrate my movement system real quick. Doesn't really work, does it?
Not quite the epic battle you had in mind. And that's what gets me so pumped about the future of VR locomotion.
Okay, lay it on me. What are we going to be doing? Flying, teleporting, walking through walls.
Well, imagine this. Instead of all these workarounds, you just dot walk or run.
Wait, you mean like for real in my living room?
Yeah, but your movements, they're perfectly mirrored in the VR world. No more teleporting, no more motion sickness, just pure movement. Like you're really there.
Okay, now you're speaking my language. That's the dream. But be honest, how far away are we, really, from that being a reality?
Closer than you might think, actually. There's some seriously cool stuff happening right now with full-body motion capture and haptic feedback. That's where it gets really wild.
Haptic feedback.
That's like...
like feeling things in VR, right?
Exactly. Imagine a suit. Super lightweight, not bulky at all, that tracks your every movement with insane accuracy. Pair that with gloves that let you actually feel what you touch in the VR world.
Oh, okay, hold up. That sounds intense. But what about those of us who, you know, don't have a dedicated VR room the size of a basketball court?
Right, right, of course.
Or an infinite budget for all this fancy gear. What's coming down the pipeline that's a little more, shall we say, accessible?
Even without breaking the bank, developers are coming up with insanely creative ways to move in VR. We're talking about games where you can ride creatures, swing from stuff, even control things with just your eyes.
Really? It's just your eyes? That's wild.
It's like a whole new type of gaming is being invented, and it's all about how we move in these digital spaces.
It really makes you appreciate how far VR has come in such a short time. But with all these crazy possibilities, it makes you wonder, can VR really be for everyone? I mean, not everyone can handle the same level of movement or intensity, right?
And that's huge. Accessibility is key. And the Maze Run VR folks, they knew that. In fact, they're already planning to do more research, include even more ways to move, and test them on people who have all sorts of different reactions to motion.
So they're making sure everyone has a good experience, regardless of how their body reacts to VR.
Exactly. It's all about inclusivity, making sure VR is something everyone can enjoy, whether you're a seasoned space explorer or just dipping your toes into the virtual waters for the first time.
Love that. So it sounds like we're moving away from this one-size-fits-all approach to VR movement.
100%. We're talking about giving users choices. Want to swing your arms? Great. Prefer the trackpad? Go for it. Maybe there's some crazy new method that hasn't even been invented yet. Who knows?
Whole buffet of options, huh? Just pick what feels right for you.
Exactly. It's about giving you the power to tailor the experience to your comfort level. Because what works for one person might send someone else running for the bathroom.
Finding your VR legs, right? Some people might need a little time to get their VRC legs.
Exactly. And just like learning to ride a bike, there might be a couple of stumbles along the way.
I can definitely relate to that.
But I think we're on the right track to creating VR that isn't just visually mind-blowing, but also feels amazing to move around in.
It's like this whole conversation about how we move in VR, it makes you think bigger, doesn't it? It's not just about the tech itself, but how it changes our whole relationship with movement.
100%.
Yeah.
And as these virtual worlds become more real, more integrated into our lives, we're going to have to rethink what it even means to move and to be present in a space where our physical bodies don't have the same limitations anymore.
Wow, that's deep. It's like we're on the verge of this whole new chapter of being human, where those lines between physical and virtual get blurrier and blurrier.
It really is fascinating to think about.
Before we go too far down that rabbit hole, though, I'm dying to hear more about these futuristic VR technologies you mentioned earlier. Full body motion capture, haptic feedback. Those sound like they're straight out of some sci-fi movie.
Right.
What would that actually be like?
Okay, so picture this.
Yeah.
You walk into, like, a VR arcade, right?
Mm.
But instead of just handing you a headset, they suit you up.
Oh, okay.
But it's not some big clunky thing. Think more like athletic wear, but with sensors woven in. Super lightweight, breathable. And as you move, Every little thing you do, gesture, shift in weight, whatever the suit captures it, sends it right into the game.
That's cool.
Adrian.
But it's still just what you see, right? How do you actually feel anything different? That's always been the thing that's missing for me.
That's where the haptics come in. Gloves, maybe even full body suits down the line, using tiny motors, even air pressure to create resistance, texture. Yeah. You reach out to touch a wall in the game. You feel that cool, rough surface against your skin.
Wow.
Pick up a tool. You feel the weight, the shape on your hand. It's wild.
Okay, that's next level. No more pretending to feel you're really getting those sensations. But isn't there a point where it's too much? Like sensory overload?
Oh, for sure. That's a huge question for researchers. Finding that sweet spot enough to be immersive, but not so much that it's overwhelming, or worse, you know, back to the motion sickness.
Too much of a good thing can be a bad thing, right?
Absolutely. It's about tricking the brain just enough.
It's like finding the perfect spice level in food. Makes you wonder, what other senses could they add to VR? Smell, maybe?
You know, I wouldn't be surprised. There are already experiments with those, like olfactory interfaces. They release scents that match up with what's happening in the VR world.
No way. So you're telling me I could smell a virtual pizza?
Imagine, like, standing on a virtual beach and smelling that salty air. Or walking past a bakery and...
Okay, stop. I'm getting hungry. But seriously, that's insane. It all sounds so futuristic, though. What can normal people who aren't, like, tech geniuses expect to try soon?
Even without all the fancy gear, there's some pretty amazing stuff out there. We're seeing more games that use hand tracking now. So you ditch the controllers and use your actual hands in the game.
Yeah, I've tried a few of those. It's weird how quickly you get used to it. Way more natural.
It's really cool.
What about motion sickness, though? Any hope for us folks who get queasy easily?
They're working on it. One thing that's showing promise is biofeedback. Basically, sensors track your body's reactions, your heart rate, stuff like that. And then the VR experience actually adjusts in real time to try and keep you comfortable.
Whoa. So it's like the VR is paying attention to how you're feeling.
In a way, yeah. It's like having a co-pilot making sure you're not about to hurl.
Crazy. But it makes you think, though, right? All this stuff about the future of VR. How's it going to change how we live our lives? Will we all be hanging out in virtual worlds someday?
It's definitely a possibility. Imagine, like... virtual meetings that actually feel like you're all in the same room, or learning new stuff through VR that's so immersive, it's like you're really there.
No more boring online classes, that's for sure.
Exactly.
But with all this amazing potential, we got to remember what we learned from Maze Run VR and all this other research, right? What's the biggest thing for developers or even just people who love VR to keep in mind as we keep going deeper into these virtual worlds?
That's a great question. For me, it always comes back to the human element. It's easy to get caught up in the tech, all the bells and whistles, but VR only really works if it creates experiences that resonate with us on a human level, not just a technical one.
So it's about remembering there's a person behind the headset.
100%.
Yeah.
Just like you wouldn't design a building without thinking about the people who'll be using it, we got to bring that same level of empathy to VR. How do we make it feel good? How do we make it inclusive? Those questions matter.
So well said. The future of VR isn't just about fancy tech. It's about understanding what it means to be human, even when the line between the real and the virtual gets blurry.
Couldn't have put it better myself.
This has been an awesome deep dive. We've gone from the basics of walking in VR to, like, full-on sensory immersion. My mind is officially blown.
Mine too. And it's clear we're just getting started. Who knows what crazy stuff we'll be experiencing in VR a few years from now.
To everyone listening, thanks for coming along on this journey with us. As for me, I think I'm going to go strap on a headset and do some virtual exploring. Lots of arm swinging, hopefully no motion sickness. Until next time, happy travels, everyone.